Hallelujah. You know, as we live in one of the fastest paced times the world has ever known, yet it's one of the best times, really. You know, but it doesn't seem like everything is going so fast. And there's so many things that have to be done during the day. And there's so much pressure, you know, with family and finances and health issues and conflicts with people at work and family members. And all of these cause us to have a lot of stress. Am I right or wrong? Anybody here that hadn't had any stress in the last few weeks? I don't see no hands being raised. We probably all had stress today. Some of you on the way to church. Because the person that almost run over you ended up driving the car. You know, I don't know. I think it was yesterday or day before. I was just driving down the street and I saw this car, you know, and it's over in this lane. Well, fine, you know, two lanes there and I'm in this lane. I don't know. I just kept watching. All of a sudden he goes, boom, and turned left right in front of me. You know, that can cause some stress, you know. But, you know, stress causes all kinds of stuff to our body, to our minds, to our spirits. One article stated that in 2010, the researchers at University of Rochester School of Medicine found that people with higher job stress also had higher body mass than the employees with less stressful situations. And then a 2006 study from the Tel Aviv University in Israel showed that workers who experienced high stress levels were 1.8 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes. And another study in 2006 from the University of California, San Francisco, showed that stress triggered hormones that could worsen or even cause skin disorders such as psoriasis and eczema. Now listen to those reports. Cause you to have stress. And, you know, now there's a number of things that we can do in the natural to reduce, you know, our stress level, actually get more rest, get physical exercise. That's one of the best stress relievers that there is a workout program. Limit your caffeine intake. I didn't say don't take any, but, you know, some people drink 40 cups of coffee a day. Dale Dawson that used to work here, some of the guy people know Dale. Dale's finger was crooked because he always carried a coffee cup. Tony, remember Dale? You know. Somebody said, do you drink coffee? Yeah, I drink sometimes three cups in the morning, not over three, sometimes one, sometimes two, but not over three, and that's all I drink the rest of the day. But I don't do it because of caffeine. I just figure that's enough coffee. I mean, there's caffeine in tea, and there's caffeine in drinks, you know. But you can eat healthy. That's all of us's problem. Or most of us anyway. Because we, if it don't taste good, then it's healthy. If it's not fried, then it's healthy. And I like fried food myself. But you know, all of these things are true and we can laugh about them, but we deal with this and we need to do what we can in the natural. But I'm going to tell you what, God doesn't intend for us to live with a high stress level. In Psalms 4:1, it says, answer me when I call you, my righteous God, give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Now, the complete Jewish Bible, that was NIV, the complete Jewish Bible says, O God, my vindicator, answer me when I call. When I was distressed, you set me free. Now have mercy on me and hear my prayer. You know, this was David in a difficult situation. Evidently, he is experiencing some stress and distress. Steve Shepherd says he, David here, couldn't do much about the war around him, but he could do something about the war within him. Instead of lying in bed, fretting, stewing, and worrying, he committed himself and his situation to the Lord and received relief. Now, the word distress here in the Hebrew seems to denote pressure. This paints a picture of the difficult situation probably that David was in when he penned this psalm. From this, you know, we can realize that stress is not a new thing. I mean, there's always been stress around. But I believe it's possible for us to have a low stress level if we'll listen to what God's Word says. So I want to share with you some stuff from God's Word that I think will help lower your stress level if you will adhere to it. Now, it's one thing to hear something, but it's another thing to do it. You know, first of all, the Word of God has to be a high priority in our life. Psalms 119, 165 in the NKJV says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. The Living Bible says, those who love your laws have great peace of heart and mind and do not stumble. The Voice Translation, those who love your law have an abundance of peace, and nothing along their path can cause them to stumble. All of these are saying that if we have the law or the Bible, the Word of God, that we'll have great peace of heart and mind, and nothing will trip us up. You know, some people listen to everything but the Word of God. They listen to the news, and there's nothing wrong with that. And they listen to the talk shows. They listen to other people's opinions, all kinds of rumors that get started. You know, I think there's more rumors get started on Facebook than anything else. Because you find out half of the stuff that people are posting on there is not even so in the first place. I don't even pay any attention to it. I might look at, see what some of my friends are saying on their page, and then I send happy birthdays to everybody, and that's all I do with Facebook anymore. At first, when it was a social media, now I don't know what it's become. To me, it's a bunch of junk. But it is a good place because we got people watching us right now on Facebook Live. So there is some good on there. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, all right? You know, I don't even like to listen to the news hardly anymore because of it's just one thing that would get you stressed out after another. Nobody's telling anything good on there. And there's a whole lot of good stuff going on in the world. Why don't they talk about that? You know, we must learn this is my opinion. Y'all can do what you want to, but you got to learn to limit your intake from the world. You know, often listening to news can cause you to have fearful thoughts. And you can listen to what somebody, your friend is saying, and it may cause you to become stressed out over something that doesn't even concern you in the first place. And doing some research, and I found out that probably affects more people than anything else in getting them stressed out is their friend talks to them about something and they take on that stress and maybe the friend lets it go and they you know, and it didn't even concern them. You know, somebody said something to me the other day and about something, and I said, that's their problem. Now somebody said, well, that's a bad attitude. No, there's nothing I can do about their problem anyway, so why for me even think about it? Come on now. Now, if they come to me and ask me for some help, I'll give them some word of God. But just to hear about what's going on, I'm not going to take their problem on. That's not for me to do. I think I get into some of more of that, but that's one thing. People get into other people's business and they don't belong there. See, we need to get the attitude that God is watching over us to perform His word for us. You see, don't put it out there ambiguously for the world, for the church, for somebody else. He's watching over His word to perform it for us, for you. He says in Jeremiah 1:12 in NIV, I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The New King James says, I'm ready to perform my word. The Old King James says, I will hasten my word to perform it. You know, we have no problem talking to our banker and accepting his word as truth. We have no problem accepting the doctor's report as valid and true. You know, I've been having, you know, somebody said, well, why do you wear glasses? Well, number one, I don't like pulling them off and on to read. And after you get older, I asked the doctor one time, I said, doctor, is it disease that causes people to have to wear the bifocals to read? He said, no, it's because of the muscles from working that contract and expand and contract and expand. And it after a certain length of time, they just get where they don't do it like they should. He said, it's not a matter of a physical problem. It's a matter of something wearing out. Hello. You know, you have no problem accepting a doctor's report is valid and true. So we need to learn to rest in God's word. If God said it, it's true, and He'll do it. It's funny how we take other people's word for something, but yet we can read what the Bible says and, well, no, I don't know about that. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. That's the truth. You know, I learned something from Dad a long time ago, and I picked it up back when I was a teenager. And I've kept it on my heart, and I kept it in the flyleaf of my Bible. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Nothing else. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. See, we got to learn to trust God's word in spite of what we hear or feel or see. If God said it, then it's going to happen. See, you know, if you're confused and all stressed, I believe I'd check up and see, am I really trusting God or I'm just giving lip service? You know, trusting God and obeying Him relieves the pressure off of you. Now it's on God. It's not on you. It's on God. Now, another thing you can do, see, you got to be able to get the Word of God in you. You got to believe what the Word of God says. Make the Word high priority. Secondly, take control of your thought life. You've got to do something about that. You know, we have to renew our mind with the Word of God. The Word, the Bible says, Romans there, renew our mind. We're to renew our mind. God doesn't renew your mind. You renew your mind by studying the Word of God. When you're born again, you're changed on the inside. But you have to do something about changing your thought patterns in line with the Word of God. And quit thinking it can't be done and start thinking all things are possible with God. See, that's what I'm talking about. Change your way of thinking. Come on. Philippians 4:6, we all know it. We've read it hundreds of times. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I want to read this from the Message Bible. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let your petitions and praise shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholesomeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle down on you. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I say to you, do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, the praise, not the curse. I sort of like the way that talks about, you know. Don't fret or worry, pray. And then it says, let your positions and your worries be known to God, and before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. And everything's come together for good. You know, and he's saying you'll settle down then. This verse tells us to do two things. It says to bring our care, our anxiety in prayer. First of all, pray. And then it tells us what to do with our mind. It tells us what to think about, what to dwell on. Now, you can't keep thoughts from coming, but you sure can do something about them. You don't have to dwell them. You don't have to entertain them. You know, I can't keep a bird from flying over my head, but I can sure keep him from building a nest up there. See, we've got to constantly guard our minds to think the right things in every situation. Most of the time, when you face a situation, the first thing the enemy is going to bring at you, oh my God, what are you going to do now? That's the natural thing. But if we have put the Word of God as a priority in our lives, and we have renewed our mind with the Word of God, then the first thought should be, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You see, it's a matter of getting your mind straightened out to think in line with God's word instead of thinking in line with what the world would say. Oh my, what are we going to do? Oh, I've had people through the years, you realize I've been preaching for 60 years, and I've had people, oh, Brother Hagin, what are we going to do? So-and-so's happening in our city. I said, well, I'm just going to believe God. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, you're too simple. Well, if that's simple, then I'm going to be simple because I'm going to believe what God said. God said he'd take care of me no matter what happens. And I go back and I see that he took care of the children of Israel in all kinds of situations. He took care of them, especially when he was getting them out of Egypt. He gave them food when they needed it. He gave them water when they needed it. He gave them victory over their enemies when they needed it. And if God did it for that was his children. And we are the adopted children into God's family. And he's going to take care of us the same way. The Bible says so. Paul says it in his writings. He said, whatever happened to Israel happened as an example for you. The good and the bad. Not to do the bad, but the good. If he took care of them, then it's an example of how he'll take care of you. See, stress many, many times is connected with our thought life. We dwell on a situation until it actually, in our mind, becomes a bigger problem than it really is. Now, don't look at me like that. You know it's true. How many of you have ever made by dwelling and thinking on something, you made a bigger thing out of it than it really, really was? You know, it's called making a mountain out of a molehill. You know, you've heard that. Everybody's heard that statement. You know, a guy by the name of William James, whoever he was, said, the greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. You choose what you think on, what you dwell on. It's easy to start thinking negatively immediately when a problem shows up. In fact, that's the first thing that we do, because that the devil is the god of this world. The Bible says that he's the god of this world. And that is what that's what he is, negative. Everything, he'll bring negative. That's why you see so much negativism on the news and all of that. It's the enemy. See, we start thinking negatively every time a problem shows up. Hello, don't look at me like that. You look at me like, well, wait a minute. It's the truth. Then we control what we think. You can think on it or you don't have to think on it. See, when somebody does something that you don't understand, well, why in the world do they do that? You got to start guarding your thoughts so that you don't start accusing that person just because of what you thought they did something, you don't understand why they're doing that. You know, sometimes people working for their boss don't understand. Pastoral staff members sometimes don't understand decisions that the pastor makes. You know, one of our youth pastors that was here, Brent Bailey, calls and checks up with me all the time. He, you know, he went down into Florida and started a church. He hadn't been there 3 or 4 months, and he wrote me, they texted me and said, Pastor, I now understand why you did certain things. You see, until you're there, hey, don't make a judgment on somebody. You need to just be quiet. Another fellow by the name of Andrew J. Bernstein said, remember that stress doesn't come from what's going on in your life. It comes from your thoughts about what's going on. Let me read that over again. Remember that stress does not come from what's going on. It comes from your thoughts about what's going on. You know, ever notice that some things bother certain people and they don't seem to bother others? Some people constantly worry about everything. My dad, and I guess I'm a lot like him, I don't let nothing bother me. He never did. In fact, I remember one time, Mama said to him, my mother, and most of y'all know them, they were here, you know, with us. And she said, Kenneth, I don't guess you'd worry if me and both the kids passed. He said, what good would it do to worry then? Tony, can you hear him saying that? And I guess that's where I get the attitude that I say, well, that's their problem. Why do I need to bother? People can say, somebody says, well, don't you get upset about what people are saying about you. No. Because most of the time what they're saying is not true anyway. And they've taken something I've said and turned it around, twisted it, and made me say something I didn't even say or believe. If you're not careful, you'll start worrying. I'm not going to worry about all that. I'm going to keep preaching about gospel. In fact, I had a guy, this just happened recently. A person wrote me a letter about healing. And he said, doesn't it bother you that you're telling people that God will heal them and God wants to heal them and God has healed them and they don't get healed? And I didn't even answer him, but, you know, he is trying. No, it don't bother me. Why? Because God's word is God's word. And I don't know why some people get healed and some don't. Why do some people come and hear somebody preach a message about salvation and get saved, and the other guy sitting right beside of him doesn't? See, if we're not careful, we get to working and thinking about stuff that we don't need to think about. You know, people get to think, well, who was Cain's wife, or who was Abel's wife, and all that kind of junk. Who cares? What good is it going to do if you found out in the first place? You know, you can, if you want to hear some stuff, you ought to sit in a theology class. They come up with all kinds of stuff. You know? And my dad told me when I went off to school, he said, son, he said, you know the Bible, you know what the Bible says. Stay with the Bible. And you got all kinds of different theologians that's got all kinds of different ideas about everything, about the Bible. But God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I don't have to have somebody explain to me this is what they think God meant. I think he said what he meant what he said. So let's go on down the road. Y'all getting anything? See, you know, some people, like I said, they just worry about everything. If they don't have something to worry about, they find something from somebody else to worry about. One lady admitted that she worried a lot. She said, if my mind was a racehorse, I'd be a winner. But yet then on the other hand, there are other people just let problems roll off like water off of a duck's back. And these people tend to have a whole lot more less stress in their body. You know, it's not easy to control your thought life. It's not easy. But I tell you what, it's especially helpful. You can't help it when the negative thoughts come, but you sure don't have to think about them. You don't have to dwell on them. Now, let's go. I guess it's getting close to closing time, so let's go one more thing here. We have to learn how to cast our burdens on the Lord. And we all know that. In fact, almost all the scripture I'm using now, all you know them. We just need to look at them a little differently. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, the old Amplified Classic edition says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Now, J.B. Phillips, in his version, says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties on him, for you are his personal concern. I like that. We can either live with our burdens or we don't have to. And it's up to you. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do. You know, many jobs have quotas to be met if you're going to maintain your employment. Or used to anyway, I don't know. I worked at a plastic manufacturing company when I was going to Bible school, university, and I worked from 11 to 7 every night making plastic bowls. And I had a quota to meet every night. And if you didn't meet that quota, the next night when you come to check your time card, on it was a little piece of paper and said, if you don't meet your quota tonight, don't come back. I'm serious. Well, you know, you're involved. I got a quota to meet. I got a machine in front of me that they showed me. They took a tube before and they put it in there and they hit the button and it just smashed that thing to just pulp. And there's a gauge on there that says 13,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And I got these gloves on and I put those deals in there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, hit the button. Choom, it comes together. It starts squeezing, and that little plastic, round plastic pill, I called it, and then you'd see it sitting, made a bow. Now, I grab my air deal, and I go, and I set them down. I don't even look at them, because the finishing shop's going to come pick those up, and they're going to... Now, man, I'm working, like, and boy, all of a sudden, the foreman comes, Hagen, shut it down, shut it down. I said, what's going on? He said, well, there's a crack in the mold, and I forget how many hundred bowls had a crack in it. I mean, it didn't have a crack. It had the ridge where the crack was in the mold. Of course, it molded together, but had a ridge in it, you know. Well, I had to make a quota, so I didn't make my quota that night. So the foreman, he wrote on my time card, machine went down. So when they took it in office, then they don't penalize me. But see, that can cause you stress. You know, there's all kinds of things that can cause stress. In a church world, there's a lot of pressure to do certain things. As the head, and I guess I better quit, but as the pastor of the church, there's always, and I just read stuff, but people are always saying, well, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do this, and they try to put pressure on you to do different things. You need to start this program. And I told one person one time, I said, when the Lord tells me, I'll do it. See, we need to learn to not let, see, you can't, don't let people on the outside pressure you into, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. Hey, if that's not something you feel like you want to do, or that God doesn't want you to do, or you just don't want to do, don't let it pressure you. That's their problem. If they think you should do it, that's their problem. Do you know, for years, and of course, I hadn't had any, but for years, in fact, Tony will remember this, people used to try to get me to start a school, first grade through high school. Remember, Tony? How many letters and stuff did we get? Because Brother Tony was my associate for 19 years, one of the best associates. I've got great ones now, too, but he was good, too. And you know, and that's not what God told us to do. But they try to put pressure on you. And how many of you have been around here for a long time? Have you ever noticed that I just keep doing what I feel like God told me to do and Rainbow Bible Church to do, and I don't worry about what somebody else says? You need to get to that way in your personal life, too. It will take a lot of stress off of you. In difficult situations, we need to learn that we need to do what we need to do according to what God told us to do, and let God do his part. You know, too often we try to help God out by saying, I trust you, and then we try to figure out how it can get done. Well, do your part and pray and ask God about it, and then let him do his part. You know, there's some people try to run other people's business, then they can't figure out why they're stressed. I got all the schools. I never try to tell any of them how to do anything unless they ask me. There's Barry and Adrian Jensen. They're over Ukraine. They can tell you that. About the only time I do get in, if there's stuff in the country going on, I get in touch with them. I got in touch with them when that was happening. I finally told them, I said, get out. I'm serious. I said, get out, because they got to the point, of course, being in what I was in the Army, and then when he was telling me certain things that the embassy said, I said, get out. Now they're back in. But you see... I don't try to tell any of them how to do anything. Now, if they come to me and want something, I'll be glad to try to help them. But you see, even though they are underneath me in Rhema, it's their responsibility that's what God's got them doing. I'm not there. I'm here. Come on. There's church people sometimes trying to help run their friends' lives. Now I'm meddling, but that's good. That's what a pastor's supposed to do. Run your life and let people take care of their own self. Now, you know, it's all right if you feel like the Lord told you to tell them something, but make sure it's just not your own fault. Did you know 90% of the people that had come up to me and said, the Lord said to say this, I know good and well it wasn't the Lord. Because he had told me not to in my prayer life. They wanted that done. So they, I better settle down here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you ever had somebody come and tell you, the Lord said? And very few times was it very few times was it right on. In fact, sometimes it was completely opposite of what you've been praying about. How many of you found out some of it is completely opposite of what you've been praying about? What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that if we would just settle down, do what we know to do, as God told us in the Word to do, then it's going to relieve a lot of stress. Now, we have something to do about something in the natural, but we've got to cast all of our care on Him. Cast. Cast. Cast, since has a sense of throw it off. See, I'm gonna cast my Bible. Now I don't have it no more. I ain't gonna go over and pick it up. You can pick it up, William. Don't bring it back to me. That's my burden. I don't need it. But that's what a lot of people do. They cast their burden on the Lord and they turn around and pick it back up. Once you cast it, let it go. And let God do His part and you do your part. Hello? Everybody stand. You know, I want you to just lift your hand, begin to give the Lord praise. Give Him all your concerns. Give Him all your burdens. Tell Him, Lord, I'm giving them over to You. I'm going to let You take these. I'm going to do what I got to do, what I'm supposed to do in the natural and in the spiritual. I'm going to do what I got to do. And I thank You that You'll do what you're supposed to do according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. How many understand what I'm trying to get us to do today? I'm trying to get you to get rid of them. Now thank God that He's got it. You're not going to worry about it no more. You're not going to think about it. You're going to think about what God's going to do, not what's happening, not what's going on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Well, did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, first of all, you've got to get Him as your personal Savior before you can get rid of the stress. Or you know what it is to serve Him and you just know you're not where you're supposed to be and you need to just come and rededicate yourself to God. All right? Or you need prayer for any reason whatsoever. You don't be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want somebody to pray with you, agree with you about something. As we're dismissed, the ladies are here, the men are over here, come down here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Connection team, go find our first time guests and take them to get that special gift.
And he said something there. There's a semi in front of broke down in front of the NRC. I want them to go around the back way and pick up the kids at the NRC.
Okay. My daughter just texted me and said that there's a semi broke down in front of the NRC. How many of you have kids at the NRC? Okay, go the back way through the park. Do y'all know how there's a road that goes around the back way and goes around the park, and do it that way. to pick up their kids because there's a semi broken down blocking the street, the entrance there at the NRC. Okay. Connection team, did you go find our first time guest? Praise the Lord. Now, I realize that I saw some of you fanning a little bit. Listen, I don't know whether you noticed or not, but the outbuilding out here, that's the control center. That's got two boilers, two chillers for our hot and cold water air systems. That also has got a big generator that we had to put in according to the specs. That's what they made us do. That if the lights go off, it'll come on and it'll have a few lights in here. So we got a little light. But behind that, I only ever noticed there was a great big, what they call a cooling tower, that the water has to pump back through and then go back into the chillers and the boilers. And it's been there since 1992. And that's how many years? 26 years? Well, it was only supposed to last 15, but it lasted 26. Praise the Lord. But they're putting in a brand new one, and to the tune of a whole bunch of money. Y'all help pay for it through the offerings. But and you'll probably see a semi trailer sitting there with some cooling deals on it. We're hooked up to that, but it's not quite, it doesn't quite have enough capacity for this big of a building, but it's doing a pretty good job. I mean, none of us are sweating. I mean, we may be a little warmer than normal, but that's why, and it's going to be that way for, well, I think it's been about 2 weeks now. It'll probably be another couple of weeks, and they'll have it all done and hook all back up. All right. Praise the Lord. That's why you see that. Hey, don't forget all the announcements, and don't forget that we got rockets coming up. We need about 20 more people to sign up for the traffic team. Praise the Lord. Hey, turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, you can be stressed if you want. I'm not going to be. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here, 10 o'clock, Sunday morning.